talk about and present to the church that we had a meeting about last week. We want to try to start a building. Well, we got a building fund, but a pledge and a fundraiser. Talking about those, so we decided we're going to go ahead and start a pledge. We're not setting no amount for anyone. Whatever you feel like the Lord put on your heart to pledge, to give, that's what you do. We're not setting no time limit on it because we're still in the process of getting things worked out for the building. I've got some more pieces to the puzzle the other day on concrete, so which I thought was a really, really good deal. So, but we're going to pledge. I guess we're going to start it with, go ahead and start it now, you know. You can start pledging now if you want. You know, like I said, we're not going to put a time limit on it, like at the end of the year, just when you get your dollar amount, you know. Whatever the Lord put on your heart. And then also we were brainstorming about some fundraising. You know, fundraising for the, you know, for that building as well. So if you have any ideas, you know, throw them at us. You know, we can use all the help that we can, you know, with some ideas. We also put it out there on the internet, or however, you know, social media, however y'all do it. Put it out there because there may be some people that want to pledge, help the church. You know, like before, you know, we had a lot of outsiders that was helping us build, and so God is looking for us to do something. You know, He's not looking for us to just be idle. You know, and I know a lot of people love to do things. People love to do, love to do, love to do. I love to do. I really do. I like to do. So keep that in mind about the fundraiser. You know, we can do a lot of things with this place that we have. And so some other business at the end of the service I want to bring to your attention. But to God be the glory. Amen. Give God some praise this morning. We don't want to forget Him. He make it all possible. And continue to pray for our nation. Continue to pray for the president. Continue to pray for the nations, the people that are really going through the struggle. You know, it's a struggle out here. I mean, it's a struggle here. You know, people are struggling right now. You know, us, you know. You know, may not. Your funds may be good, your health may be good, but you might be struggling with something on the inside of you. You know, that's where the real struggle starts. It's on the inside. You know, when you're struggling on the inside, it messes up stuff on the outside. Amen. And so the struggle is real. You know, it's really real. I mean, it is a real thing that Christians, you know, and people in life, we go through. You know, we don't, because we got saved, we don't think everything is going to be peaches and creams. And we're going to slide on through this and slide on through that. That's not the way it works. You know, when you get saved, you're going through. When you ain't saved, you're going through. But thanks be unto God, we got somebody that we can depend on, amen, when we go through. We got somebody that we can look to when we're going through. somebody to help us out when we're going through. Amen. Amen. So the struggle is real. And I'm going to be talking a little bit to you about the struggle. In Romans chapter 7, Paul was struggling. And sometimes we can get this mixed up. And I just pray that the Lord would just use me this morning and speak through me. Father, I ask you to use me and speak through me this morning so we can clarify some things, Lord God, that's out there that people are not understanding, even us here, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, God. We thank you for the commandments, Lord God. They are good, Lord God. You thank you. We thank you that you didn't come, Lord Jesus, to abolish them, Lord God, but to fulfill every one of them. We thank you for doing what we couldn't do, Lord God. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord God. We thank you, God, for the peace, God, that surpasses all understanding. Now, God, we ask that you would just bless this house, Lord. Bless those, Father God, that are sick in their bodies. Bless those, Father God, that are in institutions, Lord God, that are locked up, Father. We pray, God, those that are locked up in prisons. Lord, we pray for those that are jailed up, Lord God. We pray, Father God, that you have mercy upon them, Lord. Lord, we pray, Father God, that during their affliction, Father God, that they will learn your word and keep your commandments, Father. God, we just thank you, for God, your goodness, your grace, Lord God. We ask, Father God, that you would speak to us this morning and speak through us, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. Talking to you a little bit in chapter 7 about how Paul was really going through. Verse 1, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so that as long as he liveth, but if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law. From that law. Amen. That law. From the free from that law. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him whom is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So Paul is talking, he's using this analogy with the husband and the wife, as the marriage, how you're bound with each other until one is dead, until death do us part. You know, the natural law, you know, when you're dead, it has dominion over you. You don't have to worry about the speeding tickets. You ain't got to worry about the law of the land because you're dead. Amen. Naturally dead. You're loose from the law. And he used this marriage that a woman is bound by a husband as long as he lives. But until he dies, then she's free from that marriage. Talking about this here. For he said, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. He said, when we were in the realm of the flesh, Paul is talking about, he's talking about marriage. He's talking about something else too. Amen. But when we were in the realm of flesh, sin, the passion of it, things got set in motion. Amen. When sin came, Paul was saying, things start to get set in motion in our bodies. The members of our bodies start doing things that they're not supposed to do. You know, your tongue start lying. Your hands start being mischievous. Your feet was going in the wrong direction. Amen. So Oh, he said, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members, bring forth fruit. And so we know that by the law that we were, by the law that we're working, that was working in us, it stirred up the flesh. You know, the law was good. The law is good. And he says, but now we are delivered from the law, being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then, Paul says? Is the law sin? God forbid, the law is not sin. He said, nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. The law is good, the Bible says. Amen. Just and is holy. The law is a spiritual law also. The commandments, they are spiritual. Amen. But the law is good. He said the law acts like a mirror. The law looks deep into the spirit of man. When the law came, Paul said he was alive once without the law. When the law came, the law showed us what was already inside of us. Amen. The law showed you what was in you when it said, do not commit adultery. Don't have no other God before me. God, the law was telling you that this was in you. That's what the law was showing you. It was showing you that these things are already there. Amen. Sin was already in the world before the law. Amen. So God had to make a law so we can be held accountable. You're going to be held accountable anyway. He said to show you what's in you, not to show nobody else, but to show what's in us. You know, the law was a mirror. You know, when you look in the mirror, we look on ourselves and it seems like when we look at ourselves, you know, well, when we do look at ourselves, we say we look good. Amen. When we look in the mirror, we don't see no faults, no flaws. Oh, no, we make ourselves look really good. Amen. So the law was telling you ain't all what you think you are. Because the law looks, it's a spiritual thing. It looks so deep inside of you and it resonates into the spirit man and shows that your outside action really ain't lined up with the inside man. Amen. That's what the law was showing Paul. Proverbs 20 and 27 says, the spirit, the conscience of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching and examining all the innermost parts of his being. He said the spirit is, the law is like a lamp. It goes inside of you and it searches you out and sees. It sees what's inside of you. So it brings out so you can see what's inside of you too. But sometimes we overlook what the law is showing us. Amen. We overlook that I lied. We overlook that I did this or I did that. You know, but the law will show you who you really are. What's not who you are, but what's inside of you. You know. That's why David says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. While we only see the surface. You know, we see what's on the outside of us, you know, and we don't convict ourselves. We don't judge ourselves because we feel like sometimes God is okay with everything that we do. You know, and that's what we get in trouble at, you know, because we feel like God is okay. You know, he ain't done nothing to me. He ain't said nothing. Why are you saying something? That ain't what that really means. But the law is, yeah, it's working on you. The law is good. Say, the law is good. You know, law is good. You know, we're going to find out how good the law is. And when we think about ourselves, we think that we're doing good. James wrote this. He said, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding himself in a natural glass, in a mirror. For he behold himself and go his way and straightway forget what manner of man he was. You know, he forget that God brought him out. He forget God saved him. He forget God gave him grace and mercy, gave him what he didn't deserve. He forgets that. Amen. He said, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. He said, for I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived in me. Here's where the rubber finna meet the road here. He said, I was alive once without the law. Now we know Paul was raised up strict under the law. He knew the law. But he's saying he was alive without it. So Paul never was out the law. Paul didn't have the understanding of what the law was really for. Well, Paul had this outer appearance, you know, of showing people that he kept the law. You know, I don't commit adultery. I don't sin. I don't do this. I don't lie. I don't serve another God. Amen. He was keeping this thing on the outward. He didn't have no sense of conviction on the inside until he says, look, until when the commandment came, sin revived in him. You know, it's not that sin wasn't in him. Was you ever without sin? When you were born, you was born into sin, shaped in iniquity, David said. Amen. So when the commandment came, he said, sin revived and then I died. So Paul was living on his own, what he was talking about. Paul was just living out there on his own strength, on his own wisdom, on his own understanding. He didn't have nothing on the inside. Remember, the law is still spiritual. Amen. You still got to obey the law. Amen. But obeying the law don't get you your salvation. Paul was obeying the law because he felt like that he can gain salvation. That was the way of getting salvation then. But until the Spirit of the Lord came upon Paul, until he got knocked off that donkey, until he got saved, then that's when sin, the commandments came alive and sin was revived in him. How does sin revive in Paul? How does sin revive in you? When you look at it and say, thou shalt not. It's letting you know what's in you. It's speaking to you. It was speaking to Paul. Paul, you might be keeping them all the commandments on the outward, but on the inside of you, something's still going on. Something's still not right, Paul. So it's something still not right in God's people that they think they're keeping this. I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do, or I'm trying my best. That's good. Keep trying your best. But you got to get the full understanding of what Paul is talking about. Sin, he said, revived and I died. So when sin came up, he said, I died. I died to myself. He didn't die. He died to his way of thinking, his way of understanding. And God is trying to tell us we got to die to the way that we think. You know, that's why I says, not our will, Lord, but let your will. Amen. Our ways are not like God's ways. You know, our understanding is not like God's understanding. And so Paul says, sin revived, then I died. Alive without the law. It wasn't that he didn't know the law. It wasn't that he didn't have the law. Law, y'all knew Paul was, he kept the law perfectly. You know, and he said concerning the zeal, he said he persecuted the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. So he said concerning this zeal, he persecuted the church. How is it that if he had the law all inside, he had the full understanding of the law, he wouldn't have been persecuting the church. He wouldn't have been killing the saints. Amen. He wouldn't have been killing not only the saints, he wouldn't be doing anything else he was doing. He was doing it wrong because he didn't have that understanding. You know, he said, and touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. He had so much zeal for the law, he persecuted God's people. That's some kind of zeal there, ain't it? You know, you can have so much zeal to where you think you're doing right and you're doing wrong. And you think you're okay, but you're not okay. You know, a lot of people say things, they do things, they think God is pleased with it. You better check yourself. Check the law. Check your heart. Ask, like David said, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. See if there's any wickedness, anything that's inside of me, because you don't know what's inside of you until God, the Holy Spirit, reveals this thing inside of you. Amen. He said he had so much zeal. He persecuted the church, but not having the true knowledge of the law. He just knew what it said. And that's how many of God's people are living today. They just know what it say. You know, the Bible tells us you got to know what it means. He said, with all your getting, get an understanding, not just what it's saying. We can run around and quote scriptures all we want. But if you ain't got no understanding what God is trying to tell you, then, hey, you're just walking in darkness. You know, you're walking out of understanding, out of knowledge. Amen. And so he didn't have the full understanding of it. He didn't have what it meant. You know, he think that he was in a good place with God, you know, because of his works. Amen. He thought he was doing, you know, God a favor. He thought he was doing God's work, you know, but he didn't have that full understanding. This wasn't just about his reputation of keeping the law, but it's also about him maintaining his blamelessness. You know, where people can walk around and say, oh, I know this brother, he don't do such and such. I know Paul don't do that. I ain't never seen Paul do that. But it's something raging on the inside of Paul. He's going to let you know. It's something that's raging going on the inside of us. You know, we may not do those things. People may not see us doing them. Amen. He wanted that reputation. You know, I'm this. Remember how he gave his resume about who he was? Pharisees of the Pharisees had kept the law. He was strict on it. You know, a seed of Abraham. He laid it out there. But it was something missing on the inside. It's something missing on the inside of God's people. A lot of people, just they're not living for real. They don't know what living is until the Holy Spirit opened this thing up and let them know who they really are or what's really inside of them. Amen. There's some stuff inside of God's people. And he thought he would have somebody bragging about how good he was doing, you know. He kept the commandments. He did this and he did that. Paul later realized that it was just his legalistic righteousness wasn't good enough for salvation. You know, what we do legally ain't good enough for salvation. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. You can't do good enough for it. You just got to accept it. Plain and simple. Once you accept it, you know, and just rely on God, then you'll start getting some understanding. So Paul is saying there is a war going on inside him. There is a struggle going on in him. People are walking around today with a struggle. They're warring every day in their mind. They're warring every day in their hearts. Amen. Trying to decide what to do. Should I do this or should I do that? There's a struggle. You know, you ever sometimes feel like in your life, just be honest with yourself. I'll be honest with myself. Be honest with yourself. Sometimes there's a pull inside of me. You know, something telling me to go this way and something telling me to go that way. I got to understand and know which way to go. I got to know the right way. Amen. And if I know when I learn the right way, I got to ask God to give me the strength, give me the power, give me the might to go the right way. Amen. Because there's a tugging inside of you, whether you realize that or not. There's something going on inside of you, whether you realize that or not. Amen. It's something going on. So people are trying to decide what they should do. You ain't got to decide. Just rest in God. He'll lead and guide you. Amen. How many know God would lead and guide his people? But you got to have something inside of you to be, so you can be led by. You know, knowing the word is good. But he says, but sin taken occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. Amen. So Paul is saying all of this covenant, all of this stuff was in him. And, you know, I asked the question, I said, Lord, how could all of this stuff be in your people? You know, how could, was this in Paul? You know, after the amazing grace? Was this in Paul after his conversion? Was Paul? Are we full of that stuff? Huh? That's a question for you to answer. He said, for I was alive without the law once. Down to verse 11. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is what? Holy, just, and good. So it ain't the commandment that's bad. It ain't the commandment that's bad. It's what's inside of us that's making it bad, making us bad. The commandment is showing you, it's commandment is really helping you out. You know, Paul walking around, people walking around with all of this stuff in them, you know, until the commandment show them that you shouldn't, when you, thou shalt not, when you tell your child, you shouldn't touch that stove because it's hot. You shouldn't stand by them steps because there's a whole lot of them. You might trip and fall. No, the commandment is warning you what's inside of you. What did God say to Cain? Sin is at the door. So we open the door to sin. I mean, but the law is helping you out. It's reviving these things. But he said, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin that it might appear sin, working death in me, by which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. See, he said, we know that the law is spiritual and we are carnal. We're sold under sin. He said, the law is a spiritual thing. Amen. It's got to get down inside of you. And once it get down inside of you, something has to take place inside of you. But you just reading and just reading and just reading, that's good. But something has to take place in the heart. Amen. He said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. For then if I do which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. He said, the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. Amen. You ever find yourself doing stuff that you don't want to do, that you didn't meant to do? You know, you ever find yourself in a place where you, that Lord, I help me. People say, Lord, forgive me before I do. Forgive me for what I'm about to go do. You know, but there's a pull, and Paul was telling, he's showing us there's a struggle inside of him. That was a struggle inside of Paul. There's a struggle inside of us today. He said, if then I do that which I would not, if I'm doing something that I would not, then I consent to the law that it is what? Is it bad or is it good? Because I'm doing what I don't want to do. The law is showing me, you know, what's really inside of me. You know, the law is helping him out. He said, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin dwelleth in me. You know, it's the sin that dwelleth in us. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And what we got to realize, that here's a saved man, God-fearing man, God using him. He said, I know in me, that is in our flesh, dwells no good thing. Amen. But they ain't all that's dwelling in Paul. That's not all that's dwelling inside of you. Not just sin in your flesh. You got the Holy Ghost inside of you. The Spirit of the Lord inside of you that's dwelling in you. That will allow you, that helps you to do what's good supposed to, or you supposed to do. Amen. You got it inside of you. He said, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelling no good thing. Because if you weren't dwelling in his flesh, you wouldn't be making mistakes. You wouldn't be asking God to forgive. You wouldn't be repenting. we wouldn't have been doing this morning. Amen. So it's something in the flesh that's got us caught up. It's something in the flesh that's got us doing what we ought not to do. Amen. For I know in me, he said, that is in my flesh dwell no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find the will is present with Paul, he said. You know, the will is present with you. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. And so a lot of times we let the flesh get the best of us and not the spirit. You know, we find out after we done sinned that the flesh got the best of me. I should have kept my mouth shut. I should have never done this. I should have never done that. I never should have went over to such and such and such a place. But the flesh, the spirit was telling you not to do it. The spirit was telling you to study, to be quiet, be slow to speak, swift to hear. The spirit was trying to lead and guide you, but the spirit ain't going to make you. Amen. It's not going to make you. He said, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but it's sin that dwelleth in me. What Paul is saying? What is he saying there? He's saying that, look, it's something that's, you know, that I'm obeying. And listen to what he's saying, too. He's saying, I. Paul was trying to do this on his own. Yeah. The apostle was trying to do it all by himself. You know, we got to realize that we can't do nothing on our own. We need help. We need leading. We need guidance. Amen. We need instructions. Amen. And the only way we're going to get this kind of instruction, this kind of guide, is through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Ghost. He will what? Lead you and guide you in all what? Truth. He will teach you all things. So we're trying to do things on the outside. Amen. We can't do it on the outside. You know, he had a real struggle. And the real struggle, they are hard and they are heavy to bear. Amen. A real life struggles are really hard. Amen. It's really when you're struggling, you got something pulling on you. You got something that you really like to do, but, you know, the Lord is not telling you, giving you the permission to do it right away, but you still, it's just down inside of you. You just want to go ahead and do it anyway, because the Lord told me about it, but he didn't tell you to do anything about it. He didn't tell you to go. He just told you that I'm going to take you. Amen. And so life struggles are real and they're heavy. But God's power is even more and real everlasting. Amen. They are everlasting. His power is much more than what life can throw at you. Amen. God, David said, is my refuge and my strength. A very present help in trouble. We got to realize that when we're in trouble, we can't let this flesh lead and guide us. God is our help. He's a very present help in time of every trouble, in any kind of trouble. The trouble that's coming our way, God is still going to be our help. Amen. He's going to be our help. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He says in 2 Corinthians 4:8, he said, we are troubled on every side. Sometimes you got to feel like you got trouble all around you. He said, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Anybody feel like they've been persecuted sometimes and feel like God has forsaken you? Where are you, Lord? Jesus said, why have thou forsaken me? You know, sometimes people feel like God is nowhere around. But we got to realize that he said he will never leave us nor forsake. He said, but we ain't cast down. He said, cast down, but not destroy. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is letting us know that we got to go through some things. Amen. He said, we are always, not sometimes. You're going to always be going through something in this body. Amen. Bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made what? Manifest in this body. He's trying to manifest himself inside of you through all of this trouble, all of this these tests and these trials and all these things that you go through, all of these circumstances that you're facing, amen, the things that you don't understand, God is trying to make himself manifest inside of you, amen. So the struggle is great, but God is greater. Sometimes life can overwhelm us, amen. Sometimes it can be so overwhelming to where it just make you sit down. You ever been so overwhelmed with stuff in your life? To where you just sit down and just say, Lord, I just got to think about this. You know, I need to hear from you. You know, life can get, it can be something so overwhelming. But God will never let nothing overtake you. Amen. He would never let nothing overtake you. So the struggles are great, but God is greater. Amen. That's what John 1:4-4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. So if God is inside of you, can't nothing overwhelm, can't nothing overtake you. The commandments came to drive us, to lead us to Jesus. Amen. The only one who could fulfill all the commandments. He was the only one that did them all. He's the only one that fulfilled. He said, Father, it's finished. I've kept your law. I've kept your commandments. So that we can live, where we can live now, not in the flesh. We can live in the newness of the Spirit by faith. You know, by faith we have to live in the newness of the Spirit of God. Ezekiel said in 36:26, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. God is putting a new spirit. He put a new spirit inside Paul. Amen. He got put a new spirit inside you. He said, but this shall be the covenant, Jeremiah 31:33, that I will make with the house of Israel. God has made a new covenant with you. He said, in those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws in their inward parts. See, Paul didn't have the laws in his inward parts. Paul had everything that the Bible said it was on. It was on the outer man. He was wearing it on his sleeves. You know, he was wearing them on his clothes. You know, those, you know how God told him to bind it up on their foreheads and, you know, put all of these tatteries all on them. He said, Paul was wearing this stuff, but it wasn't inside him. But he said, but now I'm going to put something on the inside of you to cause you to realize that when you're doing wrong, it will rise up in you and let you know you're doing wrong. He said, I will put my laws in your inward parts and write them in your hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. So Paul delights in the law of God. He said, for I delight in the law of God after the inner man. You know, we delight after God's law. He said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Paul is saying, something and hijacked my spirit. You know, sin and hijacked God's people's spirits. Amen. Sin has taken over God's people. They don't know right from wrong no more. They don't know whether they should go right or whether they should go left. They don't understand hardly anything no more. Amen. Sin has hijacked God's people. And sin got them out there doing stuff that they ought not to do. That they're continuing in sin. Amen. But Paul said he delights in God's law. He wants to do what's right. Amen. He said he wants to do it. Don't you want to do what's right? You know, Paul is not saying that it's impossible to obey God. But he's saying it's impossible for you to obey God on your own. You need some aid. You need some help. You need some strength. You know, I hear some people saying, I feel my help coming. I feel my strength coming. You know, I know it's coming, but it ain't coming. It ain't coming from my house. It ain't coming from a neighbor, but I know it's coming from up high. Amen. I know my Redeemer lives. I feel my help coming. I feel my strength being regained by the Spirit of God. Amen. Do you feel your help coming today? Do you feel your strength rising up today? He's saying it's not impossible to obey God. It ain't impossible. The Spirit makes all of that possible. Amen. He said, but it's impossible for you to do it by yourself. And I know, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I don't want no help. doing certain things. You know, I got it. That's what I'm saying. I got this. I got this. Why? Handle this. I got this. Anybody got it? Huh? You got it, you better let it go. If you got it, let it go and let God. Let God help you. Let him lead and guide you. Let him give you some instruction. I may have, but she may have what I'm looking for. God may give it to her. Amen. It may be in her mouth. Amen. So don't have it. Let the Spirit have his way. Let God have his way. Let the Holy Ghost lead and guide you. Let him strengthen you. Let him edify you. Let him build you up. Amen. Don't try to do this stuff on your own. I got it. We can't have it no more. Only thing we got to have is the Holy Ghost power. Do you have the Holy Ghost power? That song said, I got it. The Holy Ghost power. That's the only way you're going to make it in this world. It's with the Spirit of the living God. Amen. And so we are in need of a Savior. I don't know about nobody else. I thank God for my Savior. Paul is saying he was struggling because he was trying to do it on his own. Stop struggling, y'all. Stop trying to do it on your own. Rest. Let God have his way. Let the Holy Ghost move. Amen. The old man was trying to obey from the outside in. That's how we do it. You know, we want to do it on the outside, thinking that the outside man going to clean up eventually. That's how we think. You know, if I just keep doing this and keep doing that, this will get right. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. You got it's Jesus, what, on the inside. He's inside. He got to get inside first and start his work. He that begun a good work in you shall accomplish it until the day of Christ. God has begun a good work inside. God, he's concerned about what your works are, but it don't start on the outside. If you just doing works on the outside, you're just doing works. What they say, James wrote, dead works. Them works are dead. You got to have something on the inside resonating on the inside of you. Something that's going to lead you and guide you. Something that's going to speak to your heart and tell you, you know, you're doing all right. Or, no, you need to go and repent. You need something that's going to convict you. Amen. And so Paul was trying to do this thing on his own. Stop trying to do it on your own. Let God have his way with you. You know, the new way. The Spirit works from the inside out. You know, but, you know, even today we still have this ladder of the law with us today. Don't we? We still got our Bible. We still got it. But we don't have Jesus here with us physically, do we? He's not here physically right now. Thomas said, except I see, then I shall believe. That ain't how it works. You know, you got to believe first and then you're going to see it. Amen. But we do have him with us spiritually. He's living on the inside of me. And I got the letter of the law is telling me, but I got the Spirit of the living God to lead and to guide me. You know, we got to walk by faith. We got to live by faith. The devil can't separate us from God. Amen. We got to live the way God, the way the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us to live. Don't worry about your neighbor. Your neighbor might be getting away. They think they might be getting away with this, that, and the third because ain't nothing happened to them. That's just the mercies of God. Amen. And you feel like, Lord, why are they getting away with it? Why ain't you saying nothing to them? Why ain't nothing happened to them? I ain't looking for nothing to happen to nobody but for them to change their life. Amen. I want to keep walking in the light. Amen. So the people can see my good works and then we can glorify God. Amen. So I'm not looking for nothing but a change in somebody's life. I'm looking for more change in my life. Amen. So Paul was talking about his struggle in chapter 7. He was saying that he was going through. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me from the body, the fleshly body of the dead? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with my mind, I serve. So with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh, the law of sin. So Paul is saying, look, all his struggles, Amen. He was struggling. He's just showing you all the struggles that we have, you know, when we're trying to do something by ourselves. He said, but he thanked God that the Lord was going to deliver him. And chapter 8 tells us about his victories. You know, you can still have victories in your struggles. You can still have victory while you were struggling. A lot of people just struggle and they don't think they can have the victory. You already got the victory. We just got to proclaim it and know that you got the victory. We try to wait until something shows up first. You know, we got to see it first, you know, before we proclaim that victory. You know, but that ain't how God works, he says. He said, verse 1, chapter 8, therefore there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There ain't no condemnation. I don't care how much struggling that you're going through, how many struggles you got and what you're going through right now. There ain't no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Amen. You got to be in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God gives you power when the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord, come upon you. The Spirit gives you power to overcome your struggles. So we can't sit here and say, because we're going through a struggle, we got to keep going through it. The Spirit of God gives you the power to overcome those struggles. That's what Paul was talking about. It didn't say Paul continued to struggle. He said, shall we continue in sin? God forbid. You're going to continue to struggle, but God gives you, he gives you the power by the Holy Spirit to overcome if you obey the Spirit. If you don't obey the Spirit, then you're going to continue to walk in the flesh. You obey the Spirit, you're going to continue to walk in God's newness of the Spirit. Amen. So the Spirit gives you power to overcome your struggles. It gives you the power to do what we're supposed to do. Yes, we can. We ain't going to live with sinless life. Oh, no, we ain't. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. We're going to have our hiccups. But God don't want you trying to fix this thing on your own. Thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if you're walking in the Spirit, there is no condemnation. You fall, get yourself back up. Dust yourself off and keep on moving. But have a heart. Ask God to forgive you, to help you. You know, we don't have bulls and goats no more to sacrifice. We had our one sacrifice, one and only. They had to do this every year, but we do it every time we fall. Every time I know that I've done something wrong, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to ask God to forgive me. So the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you not to only make you dance like David. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon you not to give you only speak in tongues, but it gives you power. Like somebody was saying this morning, we got to witness more. It gives you power to be an effective witness. It gives you power to be able to stand in opposition to where you won't be told to go to the left. Well, it gives you power to be steadfast. It gives you power to be unmovable. Amen. God's Spirit is more powerful than anything that we can imagine. Amen. He gives you power to obey in spite of your struggles. You are free because who the Son made free is free, sure enough. I don't know about nobody else, but I know I'm free and free indeed. Not because of what I did, but because of what he did and what he's continuing to do. He's continuing to sanctify us. Every day God is continuing. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It continues to sanctify you. Yeah. It don't leave you in that struggle. It don't leave you in that spot. It brings you out. Because it can't. But you know what? You got to be willing. That's the part where I heard somebody say, that's the power that I don't need. And I understand that. That's the power of my will. If I Lord, not my will, but thine will. That will gets in the way of God sometimes. Because God ain't going to make you do nothing. You got to yield to the Spirit. And that takes some learning. You got to know when the Spirit is saying. You got to know when the Spirit is telling you to do what you need to do. Amen. So when the Spirit of the Lord comes up on you, he's giving you power to resist the enemy. To resist all the fiery darts. He's giving you that power because it's in you. The Spirit is in you. But it's going to rise up. We got to make it rise up. We got to speak what's inside of us. Lord, your word says, that's the Spirit, amen. His word is the Spirit, ain't it? You know, his word is Spirit and it is true. So your struggles, don't stay in your struggles, saints of God. Know that God is giving you strength. He's giving you power over all of the power of the enemy. And by any means can harm you. God bless you this morning. Know that your struggles are over. By faith, they are over. You can overcome. Amen. You feel like you can overcome today. You feel like you have overcome. You're not can overcome. If you feel like you can't, you can. Amen.